Caleb, welcome into the studio today.
Thanks.
It's today is our last episode in the marriage series. We've been talking about how marriage is a visible testimony of God and His relationships. And I think today might be the quintessential visible testimony aspect of marriage, and that would be oneness. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that statement? Is that an overstatement?
No, I don't think it is. And I think this aspect of oneness is the sealing, the saying that this is kind of the living out of what we verbalized.
Where do we get in Scripture that marriage at all points to oneness?
Yeah. We read of the husband leaving father and mother and cleaving unto his wife, and they become one flesh. And he talks of it being a great mystery, right? There's aspects of this oneness that clearly impossible for us to fully grasp or understand.
To plumb the entire depths of it. And that would have to be because of where it comes out of. It comes out of a being that you can't plumb the depths of.
Right? Sure.
And that is God. So make some connections there as
sure.
well.
Sure. So this aspect of oneness, I think God paints a beautiful picture just as we look at Himself, within Himself, as we think of Him as a triune God. One being with three distinct parts of Himself that function on their own, right? We think of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ. We think of Him coming to this earth, His flesh, and His Holy Spirit.
The Trinity in complete unity for all eternity, right?
Yes. It paints us a picture of openness, vulnerability, communion back and forth. And we can see that throughout as we look at Jesus' life here on earth, the oneness he had with God the Father.
The back and forth, I find to be incredibly exciting. And I think we see it in some of the most clearest text in John 15. 16 and 17. Talks about going away so the Comforter can come. Talks about the Father and the oneness and inviting even us, the church, into the oneness of His. I don't think we can mistake that oneness is a large theme of the Scriptures and of the intent of the gospel.
The fellowship He has that is made possible through the relationship of oneness and being united.
By just casting this vision here to say, all right, notice that marriage comes out of the DNA of God. All of a sudden raises the sanctity of it, right? That might make me think a little bit differently about oneness.
Yeah.
And that's part of our intent here today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what messages, what beliefs have we over time started to accumulate that is not the sacred oneness that God speaks of in Scripture?
This is so far removed from our cultural concept of physical oneness, right? And before I let you respond to that, I would also assert that the culture is not silent on their thoughts about the sexual act, about sexuality, about its purposes. They're not silent. If we are not on guard, we can swallow those concepts, can't we?
Absolutely.
So I'd like you to take a moment to kind of redeem this concept of sexual intimacy.
Yeah, sure.
I think we see it, if we're not careful, a far too low view of it.
Sex in itself is filled with meaning. The culture has hijacked this term of sex and what it means. Hijacked in a way that it is purely physical. It's bypassed, it's become a physical act and bypassed the way to true intimacy. Whereas I think from Scripture, we are taught that this is not just a physical act, but there's an emotional aspect, there's a spiritual component to it, there's a relational component to it. And I think within this, so we have a much more complex, if you will, aspect of oneness than the culture would like to tell us.
I think immediately of the great law of love, where Christ said the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all of our what?
Heart,
soul, mind, and strength, right? It seems to be there's a lot more to love than just the strength.
Yeah. And I think in order to engage in oneness in that way, it moves away from what we talked about last time, which is this aspect of I'm going into this for my own needs.
Okay.
That this oneness aspect is about giving.
Right.
It's about a gift that we're giving each other. And so culture would say physical intimacy is the end in itself.
Yes.
Versus and God would say
it is a means.
It is a means to an end. It is a means to taking us ultimately. Our purpose is to glorify God. And I believe that this oneness in marriage is one aspect and one way we can glorify God. That ultimately it's not about engaging in this act per se. It is about moving us to Him and saying, yes, this is good. This oneness is good.
Do I view that act as worship?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you suggesting it should be?
Yes.
Okay. So it's going to meet two ends. It should be worshipful in the sense of creating and establishing and maintaining oneness with my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And at the
mm-hmm.
same time, celebrating the oneness that God has with Himself and the oneness that He invites us into.
Yes. Yes.
Is that right?
Absolutely. We miss the beauty, the sanctity, the completeness of this oneness. And I think it's easy in my flesh to forget the great meaning and purpose it has in marriage.
Yeah.
And so I think we can just kind of fly right over.
Yeah. My views and my thoughts and my opinions are always in flux,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and they are being persuaded one way or the other. It's not stationary and fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the amount of time and effort that our culture is pouring in to sexual education,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Subtly, overtly,
mm-hmm.
I probably am affected. I know I'm affected.
Yeah.
More than I would care to admit.
Yeah. I think we are, Matt, whether we realize it or not.
How then do we maintain this appropriate, good view
mm-hmm.
of mm-hmm. oneness in marriage, mm-hmm. and in particular, the sexual
mm-hmm.
act?
Mm-hmm. Read through the Song of Solomon, which I
okay.
think is
yeah.
a wonderful book that speaks to this idea of physical intimacy. Someone who wants to recognize counterfeit money,
yeah.
dollar bills,
yeah.
they don't go about searching for what various types of counterfeits there would be out there.
Right.
Rather, they spend hours and days and
looking at the real thing.
Looking at the real thing, knowing it so well that when any slight change or any slight difference comes their way, it's, ooh. Something's different.
So when you are looking and encouraging couples to read through the Song of Solomon, they are getting and intaking a wonderful, pure dose
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of love,
mm-hmm.
unity,
mm-hmm.
and this physical act of
yeah.
sexuality.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, absolutely. And I think then from that, we begin to put up our radar and even notice, hey, when I listened to that commercial, what did you hear? What sort of message does that send to you about a man, a woman, or this physical intimacy within the relationship?
How am I viewing my spouse?
Mm-hmm.
Do I see my view towards them as an object
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
coming into my thinking?
Yeah.
As opposed to an eternal being with a soul.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because we are being, right now, the culture, even when you talk about gender, man and women, mm-hmm. woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're confused in many levels here.
Yeah.
And how we view even the opposite gender is being corroded in many ways.
Absolutely. It makes me think, Matt, of just the example of beauty. So how do we think of beauty itself? Beauty is something that our culture has taken, okay? In many ways, it's a socialized term, which means how we view beauty today is different than how beauty in itself was viewed 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, when you yeah. think of a woman that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But Scripture would say in 1 Peter 3:3-4, whose adorning let it not be on the outward adorning of but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the adornment of a meek and a quiet spirit.
Yeah.
And so that is a, I think, a message that we're sent by society is that beautiful women leads to this
yeah.
wonderful experience of physical intimacy.
Yeah.
That's not true.
You know what, Caleb? Actually, as you give that example, okay, Song of Solomon, the first chapter, the woman kind of bemoans her appearance. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do not look upon me.
Yeah.
Because I am basically too tan because I have had to work,
sure.
Right? And yet there is this love that he has that is such an expression of grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we are loved in spite of ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Points us back to Christ and our own salvation and experiencing. So I think this is the redemption, right, for us, is that we experience Christ's love for us through our spouse in that very act, is that we begin to view each other not based on external appearances, but I see the heart.
Yeah.
I begin to see the heart of my wife and the meek and the quiet spirit that moves me in a way that I want to be one with her.
What other components of oneness should we be thinking about in marriage, not necessarily tied to the physical sexual act?
Sure. So I think another aspect, though, of this oneness is companionship, is this idea that I am married to someone I love and I want to pursue, and someone who's my best friend, who I can commune with, right? Fellowship with, that unity aspect of the Trinity
that we talked about. Yeah, and I love that. You know, and you think about that completeness that the Trinity has, okay? Caleb, when you read in the paper and you see a marriage 85-year anniversary, right? I mean, it lands on the paper, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just for the longevity, the devotion, the contentment, right? And you know that that oneness wasn't necessarily one in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that didn't maintain 85 years.
No.
Right? But there was a complete contentment with each other that has remodeled this oneness. And then as you think about the Trinity, for eternity, 85 years, right, is not even a drop in the bucket, right? So Christ is inviting us into something so stout and secure, right, and fulfilling, that we can be content in it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
To me, that empowers the oneness of my marriage, knowing that it comes out of the oneness of God.
Yeah, that this power, this source of power, comes through Him. So it isn't disconnected, as culture would say. We are not taking this act and disconnecting from the other parts of this oneness, this companionship, this fellowship, this unity that is also very integral.
It's a celebration of, perhaps, right?
Yeah.
I think as you began, you kind of painted this picture of consummation. It's a consummation of the covenant that defines this deep relationship of soul devotion.
Yeah. And I think we see this in Scripture as well, Matt, as we go back to even Genesis, is when he's creating, right, the world, he goes through and he speaks of, God says it is good, right, after he completes the first day and second day and so on. But when he gets to the creation of Adam and Eve, he said it is very good. He moves beyond, and what can be better than the beauty that he has already created, right? And to know that he said this, Matt, when Adam himself had a pure relationship with God, it was perfect. And yet he said that it is not good for man to live alone. And he's in complete union with God. And so I wonder, maybe I'm extrapolating this too far, but it speaks to the value of companionship to me, of best friend, and the integral part of that in our marriage relationship.
And so what God was saying, okay, in a sense, was, now look what we've created when we've created the both of these. We have created ourselves back into them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Now they can be a visible testimony of us. And when I say us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? They must have looked upon that creation and said, now that's very good.
Yeah.
Adam alone was not going to do that, but the relationship with another was going to further that visible testimony. And for that purpose, it was very good.
Yes.
Caleb, the exercise of looking at the Trinity and then looking at my marriage, I think is very invigorating. Okay. So I'm going to do another one. And it's actually a word that you dropped at the beginning when you talked about the Trinity. You mentioned their distinctions, that they were distinct beings that then were made that are one. All right. So now I look at my marriage and there's distinction there as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there something below the surface here?
Yeah. I think one of the myths, this idea that my spouse makes me whole. Scripture would tell us is, as we look at the Trinity, is that in order for oneness to take place, there has to be individuals of distinct being. That oneness doesn't happen unless there's two individuals.
And that distinction is necessary.
And that distinction is necessary. One of the things that I like to walk through with premarital couples is just different concepts of different frames in relationships. So let me explain. These frames are talking about relationships to one another within marriage. The first frame would be an A frame. So if you think of an A frame, it's in the letter A, is kind of two lines leaning on each other. Okay.
Yeah.
So that would be a dependent relationship, which means if I pull out one line, I pull out one spouse,
the other will fall over.
The other will fall over. The next is what's called an H frame, which is two parallel lines barely touching each other by one line. Okay. Which represents complete distinction.
Yeah.
But not really that oneness component. So they're living individual lives. And there's not a lot of we-ness or togetherness within the relationship.
Not the oneness.
Not the oneness.
Okay, so we're not to be A, we're not to be H.
Not to be A, okay, not H.
I'm going through my letters here, so if I can guess it.
So now we look at M, okay? And if you look at M, the outside of the lines of the M stand independent on their own. So they're not like A, being held up by each other, but they're being held up by a different source and a different power. And the center, right, of the M is Christ. And so this oneness aspect speaks to the need for us individually to be connected and to have our source of life and power through Christ himself that then flows out of us into our spouse.
And so here we have come again. We pretty much find, once we get to the bottom of things, that faith is required.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's a joyful moment when we get to that point where we see that this is not simply self-help we're talking about here, but this is something that requires Christ in order for it to be lived out.
Yes.
Right? So he is going to be the center of our oneness here on this earth with our spouse. And then he will also is the center of our oneness, right, in all eternity. So he is the source and the supply and the solution all the way through.
Yes. What hope that there is power beyond us.
Caleb, you've provided a great deal of explanation, as well as, I think, some practical application to these concepts. But I want to speak now and allow you to address the couple might be listening, struggling with oneness, right? Has struggled maybe for years. What hope can you cast for that situation?
Matt, I think there's a great deal of hope when we think of redeeming or restoring this aspect within couple relationships. I think the first aspect for us is to be realistic. And that is, this part of our marriages is complex by nature. So
as a lot of influences.
And it brings in, there's a great deal of gender differences as we talk about oneness and what it means within the relationship. There are great gender differences that can create tension. There are aspects of our individual lives, whether it be trauma from the past,
whether it
be beliefs, absolutely, that affect this. And so sex itself is laden with meaning, meaning for all of us, which is vital for us as couples to communicate openly about. That's one thing. If there's just one step today that we can begin to do together, it's to begin to communicate openly. This is the part of a couple's relationship that oftentimes couples tiptoe around.
Yeah.
And so there are assumptions made by that nature, or there are beliefs that we begin to have that aren't necessarily true. But all this to say that, one, it's complex, but also to say that there is hope, that a process of open communication, a process of searching through the scriptures, a process of beginning to challenge my own beliefs on when I hear this word, again, what comes to mind, what sort of thoughts do I have? Does that align with scripture?
You have worked with couples that have had all these complexities and more. Bring them to a spot of troubled unity in their marriage. And you have found them to heal. And this area of unity to be healed in their life based on these principles.
Yes. A, yes. B, no. Yes.
Okay. Another multiple question, multiple choice question for you, Caleb. That a couple's fulfillment in this area of their life is better, A, or B, worse, by a spiritual, biblical concept of it.
Yeah, 100% A. I just, you know...
See, now the world would buck that, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They would say the Bible is one great way to damp this completely.
Yeah. Here's the thing. As we think back again of our distinct purposes on earth, and we are here to glorify God. And so I think the hope and the power that we've been talking about, which is, again, going back to the creator of the marriage union, is kind of like the wind and the sail. It is
does all the work.
It does. It does. And so I think that's also true as we think about our marriage relationship, is when we begin to align ourselves with Scripture and the truths of Scripture, with the purposes of marriage, that that is the power source that moves us forward, not only in oneness and closeness with one another, but in our own individual relationship to Christ.
And I love that metaphor and that imagery, Caleb, and I think we'll close with that, even as we look at this whole podcast series of marriage, that hopefully this series has allowed us to adjust our sails a bit, right? To catch the wind, the Holy Spirit and God and His Word, His purposes, noting and observing His relationships so that our marriages are the maximal visible testimony of Him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Caleb, for sharing your expertise, sharing your heart, sharing your passion on this topic, one that is very pertinent and one I think that will be very helpful to our listeners as we recalibrate in our own heads what God has intended by marriage and that we might have a lofty view of marriage in this time and day and age we live in, I think is extremely welcome. To our listeners, thanks for being with us. Again, a lot of resources on our website, acconsulting.org, regarding marriage. Trust that they can be helpful for you. Goodbye.